day. What crazy thing did our president say? There's commies to the left of me, Nazis to the right. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
A lovely day.
News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning and welcome to your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew. Very excited for the show today. I'm in a fantastic mood.
We'll try to change that as quick as humanly possible.
I'm already on it.
The well-oiled machine that we are.
We have Kim Crockett from the Center of the American Experiment coming on the show at 7:30 this morning. We're going to talk a little education funding, pre-K funding, get her thoughts on Jason Lewis's efforts to do some significant reforms to the Met Council. Just after that, at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, Tim Pawlenty will be joining the show. He's put out a new video calling on to resist the efforts to turn Minnesota into a sanctuary state.
Yeah, Canada's also blaming us now for their immigration problems, which I think is really interesting.
It's really funny.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Behind the scenes, publicly, they say, we will take
everybody.
Refugees that cannot find a haven in the United States, come to wonderful Canada. And then behind the scenes, they're like, we need to talk to the United States about doing something about that border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point during the show today, we'll talk about and we'll let you know what modesty ponchos are. looking forward to that. Also, we have audio. The Hillary Clinton, what happened to her, continues. She's now saying that one of the reasons, of the many reasons why she lost, is because she was a capitalist. Is it official? She lost her mind. Is it? I mean, maybe he was never there to begin with. I don't know.
The more this goes on, this is probably healthy. It's probably healthy for her, because the more this goes on, and the more reasons that she compiles, right, of why she lost, of what happened, I think all of it eventually she will come together. She'll have that moment of clarity.
Yeah.
Right. At some point, and she'll say, people just didn't like me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe.
For all these reasons that I listed out, yeah. People just didn't like me very much.
We will we'll get into the... It's so tough when you see these stories about Trump that come out and this barrage of negativity over things that happen. And you got to start going through the motions. You know, how much of this is legitimate concern? How much of this is just the continued attempt to undermine this presidency, right? To point to something negative because there's positive things going on with President Trump. What I'm specifically referring to is that Rudy Giuliani, who's now part of the president's legal team, was on the Hannity's show last night. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into this with the top five and later in the show, some of the things that he said. But there's the narrative that's erupted is that Rudy Giuliani is dropping these bombshells, mm-hmm. right? Says right. that Trump funneled money to Cohen to pay him back for the money that he gave to keep Stormy, the porn star Stormy Daniels, quiet. We'll get into all the details of it. If you haven't watched the video yet, and Drew, we were talking about this before the show started, you got to go watch the video because there's context is really, really important here. I was chatting with our DC correspondent, Andrew Langer, before the show started. Mm-hmm. Something happens in the interview when it starts with Giuliani and his earpiece. You watch the video. It's really, really clear. You watch the video, and there's some clear confusion. Giuliani is having an issue with his earpiece and not being able to correctly hear what the questions are, and you can totally tell by the body language.
Right.
So when he gets into some of the comments that he's making, that's not to say they're not legitimate. It is to say that he's thrown off by whatever ancillary thing is happening, and then later in the interview, obviously, it gets corrected, and he's totally fluid, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. So there were some wonky things taking place in this interview that I think lent his wording and demeanor to make it seem more negative than it really was.
Okay.
Talked with Langer a bit about what they could be signaling, because Langer's opinion of, and again, we'll talk more about this, of the of Giuliani talking about Trump giving Cohen money might have, was probably very intentional, but we don't know the specific reason yet, that maybe that helps in the campaign. If was this a campaign contribution argument? Mm-hmm. But you go to the, but you go online this morning, and of course it's this eruption of Giuliani laying out all these negative things with Trump. What's happening in all this? And it's not necessarily
Giuliani just
the case.
Showed Trump's hand. He paid her off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. 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 There's a lot more there than there is there to what they're saying is there. I mean,
who really cares at this point?
People that don't like Trump.
Yeah, I guess. We also have on the show this afternoon, this morning, I'm sorry, 8:35 this morning from Fox News, friend of the show, regular Thursday guest, Katie Pavlich. We will talk about some of this this Cohen Giuliani stuff with her, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we'll also get into, she has really, she spent a lot of time in Israel. If I'm not mistaken, her husband, she met him there. He lived there. So we're going to talk to her and get her perspective on what is no longer being talked about in the 24-second news cycle. And that was, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu coming out and talking about Iran lying over the nuke deal and what's going to happen with that coming up on the 12th. So we'll definitely get Katie Pavlich's sort of expertise perspective on what's happening in that part of the world as well.
But first, Sam has compiled the top five stories of the morning. Is that accurate?
It is.
All right. We will bring you Sam's top five for Thursday next.
Justice and Drew.
I don't really understand what's going on here.
I never do. So you and me both, Dayton.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Hey, it's Drew for my friends over at the Good Feet Store. Look, if you've got any kind of pain, you know how limiting it can be. It can be something as simple as just foot pain or knee pain or hip pain, but it makes you tag TCNT on Twitter. You want to communicate with us that way. We do monitor the TCNT feed throughout the morning.
We have later on in the hour, Al Franken. Gave his first public appearance since everything happened.
Yeah.
It's in Europe. Hopefully he'll stay there.
Why is that like the thing? Like Hillary toured around Europe or might still be, I don't know. And now he's touring around Europe.
Money.
And
Why do those people care? Why do the Europeans care?
They're provocative Americans, I guess.
Yeah.
So strange.
Well, I mean, I think the easiest, like a real quick explanation of that is like when we went to Norway and we were in the Amsterdam airport, and what are they watching on the TVs in the bar?
Yeah, that's
true. They've got CNN on. This is a much different. Like, we wouldn't watch necessarily the Sky News and the BBC here,
right.
But there's a fascination when it comes to America, in Europe. It's just a different mindset. And the people that have these speaking engagements with the Hillary Clinton or Al Franken, they're more the political sort of aligning of their ideologies is pretty darn close. So it makes some sense.
Before we get into Sam's top five for the morning, we do got to update you on a story we were talking about a little bit in the last segment.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
He always tweets.
What now?
Oh, shit.
32 minutes ago, the President of the United States tweeted, Mr. Cohen, an attorney. We know that. Mr. Cohen, an attorney, received a monthly retainer, not from the campaign and having nothing to do with the campaign, from which he entered into, through reimbursement, a private contract between two parties known as a non-disclosure agreement or NDA. These agreements are, ... he continued with another tweet, very common among celebrities and people of wealth. In this case, it is in full force and effect and will be used in arbitration for damages against Ms. Clifford Daniels. The agreement was used to stop the false and extortionist accusations made by her about an affair, ... He continued on. Despite already having signed a detailed letter admitting that there was no affair prior to its violation by Ms. Clifford and her attorney, this was a private agreement. Money from the campaign or campaign contributions played no role in this transaction. That was a very lawyerly set of tweets.
Yeah,
I don't think he wrote those.
Well, and again, let's get right, because this is going to fly right into what I believe we'll be covering after now that all the scouring is done with Sam's top five.
Number one.
Giuliani says that Trump paid back his lawyer for the Stormy Daniels payment. From the Associated Press, President Donald Trump reimbursed his personal lawyer for $130,000 in hush money paid to a porn actress days before the 2016 presidential election. And that's according to Rudy Giuliani, one of Trump's attorneys. He said that yesterday, appearing to contradict the president's past claims that he didn't know the source of the money. During an appearance on Fox News Channel's Hannity, Giuliani said that the money to repay Michael Cohen had been funneled through the law firm and the president repaid it. Asked if Trump knew about the arrangement, Giuliani said he didn't know the specifics of it, as far as I know. But he did know about the general arrangement that Michael would take care of things like this, like I take care of things like this for my clients. I don't burden them with every single thing that comes along. These are busy people.
Now, Drew, the tweets that you just read from the president seem to align pretty close with what Giuliani was saying there at the end, like further sort of lawyer speak clarification.
A lot of this is going to come down to sort of legalese semantics. But in the first tweet, he says Mr. Cohen received a monthly retainer, not from the campaign, through reimbursement, he used this to enter the non-disclosure agreement with Stormy Daniels.
The comments kind of, according to the story, the comments kind of appear to contradict statements made by Trump several weeks ago when he said he didn't know about the payment to porn actress Stormy Daniels as part of a non-disclosure agreement.
That's entirely possible.
Days before the presidential election. Right.
That's entirely possible. This could be something that Cohen did, used his legal judgment to enter into with her and didn't bother President Trump, didn't bother Trump, the candidate at the time. I find that a little difficult to accept. This seems like it would be a big enough deal and a big enough sum of money that I think a lawyer would want to pick up the phone and call his client and go, hey, FYI, this is what's going on. But it is possible.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it's one of those situations where there's not going to be any way to prove it either way. And so the president can very easily, Trump can very easily go and say, I didn't have knowledge of it, because it could have been something as simple as a one-on-one conversation and there was no record of it whatsoever. That's not to say that the president should be upfront about it, I agree with you. I would assume that there was probably some conversation between the two of these individuals, but in terms of legalese, there's a way just to say, I wasn't aware of it. This was a very sort of standard way in which I gave money to Cohen.
You know, I pay off women all the time, $100,000. What's another $100,000? Whatever.
Right. Well, and to that, I mean, $130,000 is a lot of money to us, but in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to the people we're talking, it's a drop in the bucket.
Trump is still denying the affair. You know, in the tweets, he says the agreement was used to stop the accusations made by her and about an affair. So he's still saying there was no affair, but she was going out and saying there was, so they paid her to stop saying there was. That, to me, that's a little hard for me to swallow, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was no affair.
Right. No, I'm with you. I know.
But you also have to consider the fact that you're days before a presidential election, and if she's going around saying that, then it might be, I don't know, maybe the better choice in that situation was to just pay her to just stop talking.
I still don't understand, though. I mean, I don't know. Nothing illegal happened here.
Right. Right. That's the bigger thing.
The only possible legal trouble that Trump could get into, said it a million times, is a campaign finance violation. If they can prove that the money that ended up going to Stormy Daniels somehow came from the campaign.
Which is why I'm wondering, because this sounds very, like, it seems very calculated that Giuliani would go on Hannity and say something like this, right? Why would you go and sort of, you know, take the lid off the jar and put the worms all over the room, right? Why would you go and do that? So it sounds like he specifically went on Hannity, and when this line of questioning came up, this is something that they had discussed prior on how they were going to word it. So I wonder if this admission that Trump paid back Cohen is somehow related to perhaps negating the accusation that this was a campaign finance contribution. I'm with you, though. Again, as an individual that voted for Trump and supports this president with what he does as a president, and I don't like him as a person or his character, you can't sit back and go, okay, it was prior to the election. You know, I already don't have a high opinion of this individual in terms of his character. This has nothing to do with the Russia collusion. What is the alleged end game here, apart from just undermining this presidency and getting him on something? Because you're not changing the opinion of Trump supporters.
No, and that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, this is something that I think, if this were maybe closer to 2020, might have an impact, but I have not gotten any sense from anybody who voted for Trump or even those reluctant Trump supporters who have come around on Trump that this is swaying their support or favorability of him in any way. I think we've all kind of assumed all along, you know, he's been married 3 times. He's been a billionaire for a long time. He's been a pop culture icon, a TV star icon for many years, you know, since the 80s. We've all kind of assumed he'd probably engaged in behavior like this.
Yeah, he's not.
It fits his personality.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the kind of person that could be in the position. And this is kind of repeating what you said. He's not. You can tell, as Trump being Trump, he's not that strong-willed a person. I mean,
he succumbs to temptation.
You'd have to be like a really, really, like, good, stand-up, solid, rock-solid dude. And to that, I don't think that. Yeah, I just. Right. We all know this already.
Right. If there were a crime here, if there were like a legitimate crime here, if she were alleging that perhaps there was some sort of coercion or sexual abuse that took place, this was all consensual.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a consensual affair, and it was an affair, and affairs are wrong, and adultery is wrong. But I don't think too many people out there had this Pollyanna-ish view of Donald Trump that he is above adultery.
If anybody's going to get upset, it's Melania. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If anybody's going to ultimately hold him accountable, it's Melania.
651-989-5855. Do got a couple people that want to comment on this, and we will continue to bring you the rest of Sam's Top 5 right after this.
Justice and Drew.
John wanted my hate peanuts.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Mother's Day is right around the corner. Hey, it's Justice and Drew, and you need to make sure that you take care of Mom on Mother's Day, right? She does so much for you. She's done so much for you. She deserves the best, and that's why we're here with in just a second. But every day, and especially after, I didn't find out yesterday. I found out this morning that apparently several House members nominated President Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize. Because I couldn't find that. I couldn't find it anywhere, like in any of our local news. It was all headlined with this Giuliani nonsense. But this attempt to try to bring down this presidency through any means possible, it's going to get exhausting. It's never going to stop. It's never going to stop, and it makes it really difficult in relative term. But it makes it difficult when you're working through these news stories to try to figure out what's truth, what's not truth, what's being blown out of proportion, what's not. I mean, you really got to get into it to try to break it all down, because it's not as easy as just a headline.
They've done a very good job. When I say they, I mean sort of the left, the activist left, the political operatives in sort of collusion with certain members of the media. They've done a very good job of just creating a swirl of questions around the president.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they haven't really found anything he's done wrong. Like, any one tangible thing that he's actually done wrong, but he's done some questionable things. So it's created just this little pig pen like cloud around him, where you have justification to question everything he does and says, because I don't know. I mean, there's Russia collusion. There's all this stuff with Stormy Daniels. There's all the turnover he's had in the White House. The attorneys keep quitting. Mueller's still investigating. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Right.
But nothing really tangible has been unearthed yet.
It was like everything that made up the core of Michelle Wolf's jokes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. You know, that's really what it ends up coming down to. And somebody tweeted out yesterday, and he's a liberal, but he's pretty rational, one of the more rational ones on Twitter, and actually said that when it came to some of the news about North Korea, it was positive. But then he added, you know, but I still think that President Donald Trump is going to have a long-term damaging effect on the country. You know, so you can't say anything positive
without that conditioning it. Yeah,
right. And I actually kind of agree with him, not because of anything that Trump did, but that constant questioning and attempts to undermine him, I think, is going to have a long-lasting damaging consequence on the country.
I disagree, because as we've seen, you only get this when it's a Republican in the White House. You know, you don't get this constant sort of swirl of questioning, not from the mainstream media anyway.
Right.
When it's a Democratic president. President Obama had scandals.
Sure.
I mean, there were things that people were raising their hands about, and the Fast and Furious scandal, the IRS targeting conservative groups, the Benghazi situation. You had all of these situations. That's just three. There were more. There were all these situations, but the mainstream media would just ignore it.
Right.
You know, the CNN would sort of just mock it. If they did cover it, it was like, oh, there go the Republicans again, trying to gin up another scandal.
Well, if Trump doesn't weather the storm of these attempts to undermine him, then my long-term fear is the power that gives to this type of active work, activist work, yeah, against a sitting president.
Let's continue with Sam's top five for a Thursday.
Number two.
North Korea is reportedly handing Trump another big win by releasing some U.S. prisoners. From Reuters, North Korea has released three U.S. citizens detained there. The releases would meet some of the U.S.'s demands for North Korea to demonstrate sincerity before a historic meeting between President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, something that John Bolton reiterated during an interview on Fox on Sunday. The three citizens have been released from a labor camp and given health treatment and ideological education in South Korea.
That sounds dark.
It sounds horrible.
Ideology. Yeah. What?
I mean, I'm glad they're being released, and I think that this is kind of unqualified good news. You know, it's really hard to put a negative spin on,
sure,
U.S. prisoners, U.S. citizens being released from North Korea prisons, but I would like more information on what the ideological education involves.
That's very vague.
That's no different than our current university system. I mean,
they send them to Berkeley.
Yes, yeah, essentially.
It's like, what could that really mean?
North Korea releases them, but you have to do, you know, two semesters at Berkeley.
Exactly.
Before you can really be released.
Really, nothing in the story elaborates on that. A South Korean activist said, "We heard it through our sources in North Korea late last month. We believe that Mr. Trump can take them back on the day of the U.S.-North Korea summit, or he can send an envoy to take them back to the U.S. before the summit."
Is this Trump their Uber? I'm sure we have means of getting him back. We don't have to wait on Trump to show up.
The Financial Times report said Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke with Kim about the detainees during the pair's secretive meeting last month.
It'll be, I wonder what kind.
It's very secretive.
And I imagine these individuals that were held prisoner were probably kept isolated, so there's not going to be a whole lot that they can share. But so little real reporting comes out of North Korea that I'd be curious to see what these, you know, what these individuals have to say once they get back home.
Number three.
A military cargo plane crashed in Georgia and killed five people. From the Associated Press, an Air National Guard C-130 cargo plane crashed on Wednesday onto a busy highway after taking off from a Georgia airport, killing at least five National Guard members from Puerto Rico. Captain Jeff Bezor, a spokesman for the Georgia Air National Guard's 165th Air Wing, said the crash killed at least five people. He said that he couldn't say how many people in total were on the plane when it crashed around 11:30 a.m. Senior Master Sergeant Roger Parsons of the Georgia Air National Guard told reporters the cause of the crash is still unknown and authorities are still working to make the crash site safe for investigators. He said any information about what caused this or any facts about the aircraft will come out in the investigation. The plane had just taken off from the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport when it crashed, and this was just yesterday. The Air Force said the plane belonged to the 156th Air Wing out of Puerto Rico. All those aboard were Puerto Ricans who had recently left the U.S. territory for a mission on the U.S. mainland. He said the initial information indicated there were 5 to 9 people aboard the plane, which was heading to Arizona, but he did not have details on that particular mission.
Yeah, considering military and the good weather in the area, I mean, obviously you're going to zero in on some type of catastrophic failure. My completely uneducated guess, but just off of seeing accidents like this reported before, is that a lot of times this happens due to heavy cargo that's not that's not correctly secured inside the cargo bay, and if it breaks loose, that shifts that weight, and the plane can't. You know, I've seen numerous stories of that happening. No evidence whatsoever of it happening in this case, but this is really, really odd to have a crash like this, given the surrounding conditions didn't lend itself to anything obvious.
Number four.
MnDOT is going to install mumble strips at intersections.
They're also known as Mark Dayton strips.
Because he mumbles.
Hey, you're veering in the other lane here. Stay within your lane. That'd be really cool, though. You know, if they could make the strips, you know, like align them in such a way that it actually sounded like you're.
Millar's is fine. Really weird about my legacy. Need emergency funding for education.
Now.
I hate these things, by the way. I really do. The mumble strips are the worst. You hit them, and it's
rumble
just
mumble strips. When did they start calling them mumble strips?
I don't know.
That's what the story.
They've always been called rumble strips.
That's what makes the story significant.
Okay, go for it.
From Care 11, in an effort to make targeted intersections more safe in the event of a crash, MnDOT is installing so-called mumble strips at more than 80 intersections in 20 counties across the state. Mumble strips are similar to the traditional rumble strips.
Okay, so there is a difference. All right.
That's right.
Dayton designed these.
Sassy.
They are Governor Mark Dayton's signature mumble strips. He designed them.
This is his legacy.
They're gonna every strip is gonna have a little trademark stamp. So they're similar to traditional rumble strips that most motorists are familiar with, except that they are ground into the pavement with a weave pattern that lessens the external noise produced when vehicles pass over them while still capturing the driver's attention.
Give me a break. You hit those things, and it's just like, they're so annoying. I get it. They're effective. Yeah, they're incredibly effective.
They're supposed to be
annoying. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Usually you see them on long highways, and people, they fall asleep, and then once they hit those mumble rumble strips, like, whoa, what's going on?
That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to alert you.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm okay with, because it points out that you can hear like the external noise of somebody else going over the rumble strips near your car. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Yeah.
No, I don't. Well, like, one, I don't care. Two, I guess if somebody's like veering over and going into the rumble strips that much, I'm okay with being aware of it and hearing it.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. And I just, thinking further about this, they really should call him Mark Dayton strips. Not just because he mumbles, but because they're much like Dayton. Like, the moment he starts speaking, it's just like, huh. You know, you just kind of, you shudder. Stop that. Stop.
I'm trying to sleep here.
Stop that. Make that stop, please. We broke her.
Sorry. The Mark Dayton strips are going to be installed on two-lane state highways that have intersecting minor roads. This will be MnDOT's first large-scale installation of the strips. According to MnDOT traffic safety engineer Derek Luer, the goal with mumble strips is to encourage motorists to reduce their speeds, which can reduce the severity of crashes should they occur. This is a low-cost strategy that MnDOT can implement to make rural intersections safer.
Yeah, the low-cost strategy now. In 2 years, we're going to find out they installed them all wrong. They need $93 million to take them out, reinstall them.
Yeah, and they do no good in winter when they're covered in snow.
Accurate.
Right.
Yeah, right, yeah. Every road is a mumble strip in winter.
The whole road is a Dayton strip. Mumble strips are going to be installed on both sides of the lane, and pavement markings will go over both sets of the strips, with white on the right and yellow on the left. Work began this week and will last through the summer. Mumble strips are usually installed within a day and should have minimal impact on motorists, nearby residents, and businesses. MnDOT will evaluate the intersections with mumble strips installed for how they impact driver speed, crash frequency, and crash severity. How are they going to really impact speed, though?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
It points that out like three different times in the story about it, how they're hoping it
will. Well, hold on. Back up here. Where's the positioning of these?
On the sides of the road.
Okay, yeah. They're not in the actual road.
I mean, you're speeding, but you're within the lane. The mumble strips, the Mark Dayton strips, I'm sorry, are going to have no real impact on that. I don't think.
No.
Someone can explain that to me.
It's possible to go fast but still stay in your lane.
No, but I'm wondering if the... Okay, we need to do it. Let's do a little bit more looking at this.
It's
because
on,
I'm,
on the sides of the pavement. Or on the,
it
the
does
road,
specifically say that?
Yes. Okay. Mumble strips will be installed on both sides of the lane, and pavement markings will go over both sets.
Like, I thought maybe they were put them where the crosswalk was, where you know, like, you've hit the crosswalk. But if they're on the sides again, that really is only indicative if you end up going out yeah. of your lane.
Well, and also...
I imagine this is more for, you know, those kind of high-speed roads that... In the more rural areas that do have houses and people that live off of them, you know, driveways connected to them. And
yeah.
maybe you had some complaints from people that, you know, when they go over the rumble strips, it's, I can hear it in my house of people hitting the rumble strips. And yeah. so we need mumbles. We need Mark Dayton strips.
Dayton bumps.
Dayton bumps.
I don't know, Dayton strips. You know who loves Dayton, Dayton strips? Bicyclists. It's fantastic. They're the best.
We will continue with Sam's top five. One more entry right after this.
Justice and Drew.
Hey, just one other thing. If you fire Sam, I'm gonna quit listening to the program.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
It is 6:50 and currently 56 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's time for your Rush Limbaugh Morning Update, brought to you by